Welcome into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone, on KTXT The Raider 88.1. I'm Joshua Cook. Coming up in today's show, we'll be talking about TAB, the Tech Activities Board. We'll be joined by the president of TAB and get an update on all the activities going around on Texas Tech's campus.
And I'm Kiara Powell. We will also be speaking with Associate Professor of Mass Comm, Bill Dean. He'll be doing a little bit of trivia with us about Texas Tech University and be speaking over the history of our college.
And I'm Matt Smith. On this day in 1947, Jackie Robinson, at the age of 28, became the first African-American player in Major League Baseball. He will be honored today throughout the MLB, as every player will be wearing the number 42. Now back to Kiara with news.
Good morning again. I'm Kiara Powell with your KTXT News Update. Texas Tech and the TTU Health Sciences Center are pulling together to help sponsor this year's March for Babies Walk. March of Dimes is celebrating its 75th anniversary, and Tech's athletic director, Kirby Hocut, will be chairing this year's event. Online fundraising kicked off last week, and the school is offering 4 tickets to the athletic director's suite for Tech's first home game of the season on September 7th as incentive to the top individual fundraiser. The city of Lubbock is offering the public a chance to get caught up with immunizations before summer begins. The immunization event is both for children and adults. The event will be held April 17th from 9 a.m. to noon at 6707 Slide Road. For more information about the clinic, call the health department at 806-775-9530. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Cool temperatures in the upper 40s and lower 50s across town require a jacket this morning, but make sure you dress in layers because temperatures will warm quickly through the day, mid-70s by lunch, topping out in the lower 80s for an afternoon high between 3 and 5 p.m. Looks like warm conditions will stick around through the evening before cooling into the 60s after sunset, down again into the lower 50s tonight to begin your Tuesday. Another very warm afternoon on Tuesday, so at least to start the week, it looks like very nice spring weather. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Joshua Cook alongside Matt Smith and Kiara Powell. Christine Copeland across the way pushing all the buttons this morning here on KTXT The Raider 88.1. Join the conversation on Twitter at The Raider 88.1. Find us on Facebook, search for KTXT The Raider 88.1. Or also, you can listen to our online stream on TheRaider881.com.
Josh, I just have to give a quick shout out to my beautiful sister, Amanda, who's listening all the way in New York City.
Oh.
The beauty of streaming online.
Connects us everywhere.
The Big Apple.
A few people do call it that, yeah.
I just wanted to say that. Just felt it was needed. But.
So what do we got today for some headlines?
Justin Bieber went to visit Anne Frank's house. Oh, you don't know who Bieber is? Come on. All right, so at the end of the tour, he sees the house. He's able to leave a note for Anne Frank. He wrote, "Truly inspiring to be able to come here. Anne was a great girl. Hopefully she would have been a Belieber."
So, although I have
no idea what to say to that.
I have seen the documentary Never Say Never several times by choice.
I actually need your man card.
I actually enjoy it. I don't listen to his music, but I like the documentary. I think people are kind of blowing this one out of proportion.
Really?
I don't think he meant any harm by what he said. Everyone needs to relax a little bit.
He hopes she would have been a Belieber. So he's not, you know,
being in the house,
the richness of this. I don't know. Okay, remember, did you have to read Anne Frank?
Yes.
Okay. So this story, the impact that it should have, this is the only thing he's concerned with.
No, because you forgot to mention that in the beginning of that note, he said your story is truly inspiring. He didn't just say, "Hey, Anne, wish you were a Belieber." You know, wish I could serenade
Anne was a great girl.
Yes,
I guess it just...
He started out well in the note. Uh-huh. It started out well, and then he took it to... I just don't know.
I mean, it was definitely a little self-absorbed.
Yes.
I mean, I think we could all agree on that, but
okay,
is it...
Thank you.
You know, should it be a controversy? I don't necessarily think so.
I mean, Bieber does what he wants to do.
Apparently
he passes out behind the stage in London and, you know, whatever.
He's 19. I guess that just shows his age.
Well,
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Matt, you got some for us over there?
Yeah. Last week we talked a little bit about disgraced Rutgers basketball coach Mike Rice, who was using homophobic slurs and throwing balls at his players. As everyone knows, he has since been fired. The athletic director has been relieved of his duties. This, interestingly enough, according to the New York Post, amongst other sources, he spent this past weekend coaching little girls. He was back on the sidelines yesterday coaching his daughter's 7th grade AAU team in a tournament. One of the parents said, "Mike is doing this because this is what he does. This is what he loves." While a former Temple basketball player who was at the tournament tweeted yesterday that Rice was out of control. So there's been conflicting reports about his conduct.
Better not mess up. That's all I have to say.
That he was out of control at a 12-year-old girl's AAU tournament? Okay, come on. What, you're not expecting them to play like your players at Rice, but also you were hurling balls at them. But I'm just, it's not a good.
Obviously, he doesn't have a very good filter.
I'm saying he should be confined to his bedroom for the next several weeks until he can, you know, this goes to the back of people's minds.
I'm really surprised that, I mean, I understand it's his daughter's team, but with all the publicity that he's gotten, I mean, why if I'm a parent and my child is playing on his team, I would kind of be like, well, little Susie, you're not going to go to basketball practice today because your coach was seen hurling balls at other players.
I just think maybe coaching is not for him.
But
it seems to be a little bit of a stress thing for him. He needs to go meditate and clear his mind a little bit.
I agree
with
that.
It's not good.
But if we know that it's not likely, I don't think, and crazier things have happened, that he's going to, you know, blow up at these girls. As a parent of one of those players, I don't think you get a better, from a basketball perspective, fundamentals, I don't think you get a better coach for a 7th grade girls AAU team than a former Division I basketball coach.
True, if he doesn't have anger management issues.
Correct. So that one might be just a little bit tougher.
Pretty interesting. I don't know. Mike Rice coaching a 12-year-old girls AAU team.
Nope.
That headline is just a disaster in the making.
Josh, what do you have?
Kobe Bryant, done. Dunskis for the season. Tore his ACL, made a normal move around.
How did he tear his ACL?
Achilles.
His Achilles.
I'm sorry. Achilles.
Sorry.
How did he do it?
He just made a normal move. I mean, the funny thing is it usually happens when you're just making a normal move. Like, he was just running around a defender, playing his leg wrong, and the knee twisted, and that was it. So
it's kind of a freak accident. It's the Achilles tendon is right behind the ankle. The most impressive part about this for me was he made 2 free throws after it and walked off on his own power, which is very impressive.
It is super impressive, but that seems very unwise.
Right. I mean, the bigger issue about this is going to be, A, whether he comes back to play, and B, whether or not the Lakers use an amnesty buyout to rid themselves of his contract and maybe build a cast around Dwight Howard. That might be a little too basketball-y for you.
It might be a little too soon
to talk about, but it's definitely a possibility.
Is he not one of their better players?
He is, but he's aging, and they got Dwight Howard, who's one of the best centers in the league, and they haven't been exactly gelling well.
And that's if Dwight Howard actually plays like one of the best centers in the league, if he decides to do that. But, I mean, you cannot say the loss of Kobe Bryant isn't huge. I mean, he has over 30,000 career points. He's played over...
What does this mean for the rest of their season?
Well, they're vying for 8th place right now, which is the final spot in the Western Conference playoff run. They won last night against the Spurs. It's still kind of an uphill battle, but even if they get into the playoffs without their centerpiece, they're not going to make a huge run matched up against the Thunder in the first round.
I don't know. It might be interesting. You know, we've seen teams. We saw Louisville rally around, you know, their injured player Kevin Ware, and everyone thought after Ware went down, oh, well, may Louisville makes it one more game, but they went on to win the national championship. So, you know, this might be an emotionally driven Lakers team that says, hey, we want to prove something. We want to prove that we can play without Kobe. We can win without Kobe. And with that, they could go on win a championship. I mean, the playoffs are always new. I mean, that's the thing. You never know what you're going to get. And me being a Spurs fan, I hope the Spurs go on and win the title. But at the same time, you know, as long as there's good basketball.
Gotcha. Well, I know nothing about sports, so that just went totally over my head.
It was fun to talk about.
We'll educate you during the break.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So we're going to go on a quick little break here. You guys will be listening to a song called Creeps by Kids on a Crime Spree, which is one of my top five music ads for this week. So here's a preview of it. Hope you guys enjoy and see you in a few.
Into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. I'm Joshua Cook alongside Matt Smith, Kiera Powell. We're now joined by Associate Professor of Mass Comm and Texas Tech Alumni Association Executive Vice President and CEO, Dr. Bill Dean. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio this morning.
Glad to be here.
I think you're going to be quizzing us this morning on Texas Tech history. I believe that's...
But first, why don't we talk a little bit about the history of the university? How have you seen it change?
Well, it's been pretty amazing. I've been here a long time, and physically it's changed dramatically. People who graduated in the 50s, 60s, and 70s come back and don't even recognize the landmark anymore. But I think more importantly, it's changed from the standpoint of academic excellence. I think this achieving the National Research Foundation's a tier one status in the state of Texas was huge for Texas Tech, and I think represents tremendous academic strides that have been made, and I think that's probably the most significant thing.
And, you know, when talking about the alumni coming back, of course, when the alumni come back each year, it almost seems like there's a new building, there's something new being built, new construction going up, especially over at Jones AT&T Stadium. How exciting is that for you? Because, as you know, back many, many, many years ago, there's old pictures of them actually moving the actual physical, the stands on railroad tracks back to increase the size of the playing field.
I was a student at Texas Tech when that took place, and you'd go by there in the morning, and those stands would be in one location. You'd go by at noon, and they'd be in a different location. They thought it was a probably one of the most striking architectural accomplishments imaginable, to take a football stadium and half a football stadium and put it on railroad ties and slowly but surely move it back. It was phenomenal. Of course, that had to be done so we could increase the size of that stadium to meet the challenge of being in the Southwest Conference.
And, of course, Texas Tech being in the Southwest Conference until 1996 before they moved into the Big 12 Conference. And, You know, what was that like being in the Southwest Conference and then moving into the Big 12? Because there were a lot of old Southwest Conference ties that were kind of broken, including the TCU one that finally got renewed this past year.
Well, it all started when Arkansas left the Southwest Conference to join the SEC. And then there was, you know, all kinds of talk about realignment and restructuring in the Big 8. There were some overtures about maybe Oklahoma and Oklahoma State coming into the Southwest Conference. And ultimately, of course, the four schools from the Southwest Conference were invited to join the Big 8 to become the Big 12. And I think we're very fortunate that we were one of them. Stop and think for a minute where we'd be if we had gone to this, say, the WAC Conference, like for a time Houston and Rice and SMU and TCU did. And of course, those schools have been in several different conferences. I was really kind of glad to see TCU added back into the mix, because that's been a great rivalry between Tech and TCU. But I think we're very fortunate. We're in a conference that has now apparently achieved a lot of stability. We're in a conference with some very prestigious academic institutions. I think it helps our academic recruiting a great deal to be in the Big 12.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. The reason, you know, I'm from the Northeast, the reason why I know what Texas Tech is because of football. And I think that athletics can really contribute to a university aside from just competing for championships and having a good team. They get the school notoriety. In terms of the additions and renovations that are being made to the Jones, I think it's money well spent. But everywhere I go as well, I see all these other buildings popping up. And I was just wondering maybe if you could give us some insight into any big future plans in terms of new buildings or anything like that around campus.
Well, I think that the thrust of the university in recent years has obviously been towards improving its graduate program and its research research dollars that we're able to get from Washington and Austin and from private corporations and foundations. And so I think emblematic of that is this new petroleum engineering building that's going up about where the old men's and women's gym used to be. I think you're going to see more buildings dedicated to research and to attracting research dollars in the future. I'm not, you know, privy to know exactly where and when, but I think that's going to be what you'll see come about in the future.
And definitely one thing with Texas Tech, and you know, people may or may not know, I was a Sal Tramp when I got here at Texas Tech, and the biggest thing is we got a big book, and you had to learn everything about Texas Tech from front to end. And one thing was the seven original buildings that were here at Tech, including the Dairy Barn. What are your thoughts on when the conversation comes up about the usage of that plot of land out there where the Dairy Barn sits? I mean, is it something that needs to be preserved, needs to be turned into something, or what are your thoughts on preserving the history of the Dairy Barn?
Well, I'd be a proponent of keeping the Dairy Barn simply because I think it represents a part of our past that was important. Obviously, it'd be expensive to go in and renovate it. Perhaps at some point in time you could find a donor who would be willing to do that. I know Arch Lamb, who founded the Saddle Tramps, was a huge proponent of keeping the Dairy Barn. Former Chancellor John Mofford said that he had dreams at night of he was on a bulldozer going towards the old Dairy Barn, and Arch Lamb was laying in the pathway in between to keep that from happening. So I think there's a lot of sentimental attachment, historical attachment. It'd be nice to keep it and maybe at some point in time really do a nice renovation of it.
What's it like now being a former student and now seeing Texas Tech where it is today, 30,000 plus students? The city of Lubbock itself has grown to 250,000 plus. What's that like seeing that transformation over the years?
It's been pretty amazing. I think there were about 7,000 or 8,000 students when I enrolled at Texas Tech, and of course it has grown tremendously since then. The important thing about that is I think it makes the value of my degree a lot more than it was in 1961 when I graduated.
All right, I think we're going to have a trivia segment now where you're going to ask us questions about Texas Tech University and the history of Texas Tech, and we'll see if we know the answers to them.
Since you're a Saddle Tramp, Josh, you should be ready.
I actually thought about that when I found out that we were getting asked questions. I was like, well, if I don't know, I'm in very, very big trouble.
Well, I've got a script here, and we've already covered the first one, so I'm going to improvise a little bit. The question was, what athletic conference do we compete in? We already know that. We also know that we were in the Southwest Conference before that, but what conference were we in before that?
Oh, dang.
Come on, SEC? Football guys.
Oh, no. Was it the Border Conference?
It was the Border Conference.
Oh, good job.
The Border Conference consisted of West Texas, now A&M, West Texas A&M, then West Texas State, Hardin-Simmons, Texas Western, which is now Texas El Paso, Arizona State and Arizona, and New Mexico. There may have been some more, but those were the ones I remember.
There we go. First question.
First question down. Good job, Josh.
Okay. Texas Tech has a few mascots that are identified with the university. Today, Texas Tech's most visible moniker is the Red Raider, but what was the original mascot?
Is it the Matador?
Matador.
It is the Matador.
A beach owl. Sweet.
And then the real question would be, when was the mascot changed and why? Because we weren't called the Red Raiders until a Lubbock Avalanche actual journal sports reporter wrote about the air raid style offense that Texas Tech ran and called us the Red Raiders.
Right, and then, of course, let me just ask you this. When did the first mask rider, other than the ghost rider that appeared at a game in the 30s, when and where and under what circumstances did the first mask rider appear that we have today?
Did not know. I can't remember the year, but it was in the 50s. Is that the Gator Bowl?
It was at the Gator Bowl.
And it was Joe Kirk Fulton ran in as the master rider.
That's right. At the request,
Josh is acing us.
At the request of the football coach, DeWitt Weaver, we played Auburn in that Gator Bowl game in 51 or 2, mm-hmm. and beat them pretty handily. But that was the first appearance of the mask rider that we have today, and Joe Kirk Fulton rode that horse.
Hmm.
Okay.
I fail at life. I don't know.
Texas Tech campus is the only campus in Texas to be home of not only a major university, but what two other schools?
Two other schools?
A petroleum engineering school?
No.
No.
It is the law and medical school.
Right.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
The Health Sciences Center and the law school.
That was going to be my guess.
And the law school won their 27th national championship in moot court.
That's right. Pretty successful law school.
All right. I think we have time for one more question.
Okay. This question is easy, so I'm going to change it. It says, what's the name of the marching band? Everybody knows that's the going band from Raiderland. But my question is, who got that started? What band director really put that moniker on the going band?
Buddy Holly. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
You know, I went to school with Buddy Holly at Lubbock High School.
How incredible. Was he a cool dude?
Not too cool, no. We thought he was a nerd.
All right. And I don't know the answer.
The answer is Dean Killian.
Oh, okay.
He was the band director back in the 60s and 70s, and he really brought that going band thing out.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, Dr. Dean. I wish we had more time for trivia. I think this actually,
one of my funnest segments I've ever been a part of.
For a while, I was kind of running through them, but then I got caught on the last one. Dang it. All right. We'll be back on the Raider 88.881 and the Raider 881.com after this. More Good Morning Texas Tech coming up. Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Joshua Cook alongside Matt Smith, Kira Powell. Sorry, I was getting all geared up for my sports update.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, exciting stuff in sports last night. We lost in baseball, lost in softball. No, moving on. So we're talking about now Matt's favorite topic. I know he's all excited about this, and it's spring football.
Yes, very excited. I managed to make it out to the open practice Friday night. It was delightful to see what I thought was close to 10,000 people in attendance.
I was there too.
Oh,
shooting
so you should
it.
Love this topic.
No, I was on the sidelines filming it, trying not to get tackled. So that was pretty much my Friday night experience.
So I took some time last night and put together a short little 2-minute package about spring football. And
day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better,
we get better and better,
till we get BB,
we get BB,
boom, BB.
Not bad. A lot of energy. I thought the offense started really slow. Defense was getting after them, and then after that break, kind of switched. So that was good to see both sides kind of exchange punches. But energy was good, effort was good. So let's take a look at the film and see how the rest of it turned out.
Offense definitely gave it to us that first half, and then we started to even it up in the second half. So you know, we kind of learned a lesson. You don't wake up after that 2-hour bus ride, and they do, and they're going to be in some trouble.
This is when we take over. You know, with our tempo, our pace of play, you know, second half, we should wear down the defense and start making plays. And, so they responded, so that was good to see.
Really good. There's a lot of energy, and it starts with the coaches. They came in here the first day, and Coach Walderstadt was just fired up. And, you know, you can't have a fired up coach and not be fired up as a player. It's pretty much impossible unless you just don't like the game of football.
Like the way it went, where you trade punches and you know, defense was getting after us early, and then offense came back and finished strong. So that's good. That team's rising up at different times, so it's good to see.
I think everybody looks forward to, you know, being that tone setter, that vocal dude on defense. You know, we still got guys like Kerry Heyer, that's a good leader, Will Smith, you know, myself, and a lot of younger guys who've been here for a while, you know, they stepped up. So, you know, we got quite a few leaders out here. The seniors from last year, they are missed, but we make up in other areas.
Just overall execution. I thought the communication was better today. We gave up too many sacks, way too many negative plays, but overall communication, the tempo of play was better.
I think it's both of them. Like, when you first come here and, like, when you come to a big college, like, you're not used to the speed, the big time players and stuff like that. And plus the defensive scheme, I fit it more better. Like, I plan on the outside, over number 2 a lot. I'm deep thirds a lot. I'm real comfortable with
it. It was awesome. Beautiful night under the lights and a great turnout. Kids were fired up. Anytime there's that many people in the stands, they're going to get a little extra. So it was great to have that many people here.
Well, that was some audio from head football coach Cliff Kingsbury and a few players, some coming from after Friday night's scrimmage, some earlier in the week. But Matt, you were there. What did you think of what Texas Tech was doing now in the field?
In terms of what was there, I thought we looked strong. Kind of like Kingsbury said, you know, the coach mentioned it was good that we were trading punches. I agree. You know, when you have an intra-squad scrimmage, if it's too one-sided, it's not great. But if each team can make their plays, I think it bodes well for both sides. My biggest concern, and it's kind of tough to judge in a scrimmage where you can't really hit the quarterback, is the left side of the offensive line. We're mm-hmm. going to be losing Adrian Waddle, who's projected to go anywhere between the 3rd and 5th rounds. He was a big player for us, even started 2 games his freshman year. And I think it's going to be tough to kind of fill those shoes. Maybe they'll move over to LaRaven Clark. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, definitely losing Lager while on the offensive line is going to be the question. I mean, the question is the offensive line, because you have to have a strong offensive line, especially with the running backs that we possess this year. You know, you bring back Kenny Williams. He's an 850-plus yard runner. You also get back DeAndre Washington. You got Sadell Foch back there, Quinn White back there. And if you don't have an offensive line to open up the holes for them to run through, then really, you know, it's kind of minute that you have good running backs.
And on top of that, Kira Powell told me before the show that she expects another big year from Eric Ward. He's had at least 80 receptions and 10 touchdowns each of the last 2 seasons, raising his total receiving yardage to 1,053 yards last season. I'm excited to see what he does in Coach Kingsbury's air raid. I think it's just a matter of who will be throwing him the passes.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing, is what's going to be the identity of this team, what's going to be the identity of the offense, because the, you know, million-dollar question is it just going to be Brewer or Davis Webb, whoever it may be behind center this year. More than likely Brewer to start off, but you know, like last year at A&M started with a quarterback, then they made kind of a midseason switch, and then, oh, by the way, a freshman won the Heisman Trophy named Johnny Manziel. So, not saying we have a Johnny Manziel on the staff here, but watching Davis Webb in practice, the man can throw the ball.
I think it's exciting to see how excited the fans are for this season. When I was watching all of the people come in, there was a little girl dressed up in all of her Tech gear, future Red Raider of America right there.
Right. A lot of that is Coach Kingsbury and kind of the spirit he brings to this program. He's very youthful and energetic, and it's definitely a different look than I feel like what we've seen at the head coaching position over the last couple of years. You know, when he first got hired, he said, schedule Cincinnati. That's a great way to get your team motivated, to show your identity, and it got me fired up, and I was just sitting on a couch.
It got everybody fired up. And I think, Kira, you could agree with this, that since the day he was hired, it's just been Kingsbury mania.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
from the sunglasses to the swagger, they're all about him.
The t-shirts, the posters, the bumper stickers. I don't know what else they've...
I saw him in Chipotle and introduced myself. I cannot lie. I'm fascinated, just like everybody else. Don't make that face. I wasn't creeper status. I just said, hi, I'm glad you're here. That
was
all I said.
The man's trying to eat a burrito.
He was getting a drink refill, okay? It's fine. I wasn't, interrupting the meal. It's fine.
All right. Well, we'll have a little more spring football as the week comes up. The spring game coming up on Saturday at Jones AT&T Stadium starting at 1:30 p.m. So be sure to go out to the Jones and fill the stadium for Cliff Kingsbury's first spring game ever as Texas Tech head football coach. We'll take a quick break. Coming up next is Kier with the news. Nope, no news. Just taking a break.
This is Skylar Fox, and you're listening to KTXT FM, The Raider, 88.1.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Matt Smith, Kira Powell across the way. Of course, you can join the conversation on Twitter at The Raider 88.1, or also on Facebook, The Raider 88.1, and also you can listen to us online, theraider881.com. We're now joined by Alyssa Singleton, the student president of Tech's Activities Board. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us in studio this morning.
No, thank you.
Tell us about, if students don't know, and if they don't know, then they haven't walked through the sub or around campus at all this semester because TAB is always out doing stuff. Tell us what TAB is.
TAB is a student organization, and we put on events. We have about 65 events a semester, so we're very busy constantly providing events for students. But we try to create a culture. We don't want Texas Tech to be a campus. We want students to get involved. So.
And when it comes to getting involved, what are ways that not only just to come to the events, but what if a student wants to get involved in working with TAB?
Okay. We normally do our recruitment in this fall semester, so be looking out for applications here soon. All you have to do is fill out an application and then go through the interviewing rounds, and we have individual interviews and group interviews. And if we like you, then you get to be on the board.
What if someone just wants to volunteer and help out, maybe help set up? Can they be a part of it in that capacity, or is it more, kind of an active role in how things are done?
I'd say it's more of an active role. You definitely have to be a member. I don't think we've really had people asked to volunteer.
What are some of your favorite activities that TAB has been a part of?
That's a hard one. Let's see. Homecoming's a lot of fun. Very, very busy and crazy and hectic. And once the week's over, you're like, oh my gosh, it's, I'm so glad it's over, but it's a lot of fun.
What do you guys do for homecoming?
We do the parade. So that's a really big aspect. And it's crazy to think that, a parade they're really busy and they require a lot of work, but we're students and we're putting it on, so that's usually pretty exciting.
So are there any big plans in the future? I mean, I'm sure there are, but any maybe big concerts that are coming here? You know, I know it's a big university. Maybe get some rock bands or whatever the kids listen to these days.
No, we're actually right now in the middle of doing our proposals for next semester. So we do have some concerts proposed, but we don't know who's going to be actually performing. This weekend we actually, or last Friday, so this coming up last Friday, we had, who was it?
The Almost?
The Almost, yes. And that was a really great turnout. People had a lot of fun. So,
what are some of the biggest turnouts you see during the school year? What events?
Our comedians bring out a lot of people. We had Mayim Bialik from The Big Bang Theory just this last month. So that was a lot that was really exciting. The Allen Theater. Have you seen that theater? It's pretty large. I think it's about over 900 people, completely sold out.
So, wow.
Mm-hmm. So I had a question. The fact that Texas Tech is a state school and receives funding from the state, does that hinder maybe what you are able to bring in terms of maybe comedians or content? Do you have to kind of gear your stuff more a certain way because we are not a private institution?
Not really. I mean, there are things that we are maybe like limited to. There's been things that we want to bring and, you know, maybe someone says like, hey, that's probably not a good idea. But it's never been a really big problem. We enjoy the people we bring. So.
Speaking right now to Alyssa Singleton, the student president of Tech Activities Board, and talking about homecoming week. I know, I think it was 2 years ago, brought Ralphie May here,
yes,
the comedian.
Yes, that was a big one.
And that was absolutely hilarious. And I don't know what was funnier, him or he was pretty funny, but him getting him into a Texas Tech sweater was pretty entertaining as well. But when students come out and they turn out and you see the Allen Theater sold out, does that just, you know, glorify everything y'all have done? We've worked so hard, we put this together, we've gotten them here, and now it's paid off, the students are enjoying it.
Most definitely. We put in a lot of hard work, and sometimes, I mean, to be honest, things don't go the way we want them to be to go. But when we see people and they're excited and they come up to you and they're like, thank you so much for bringing out this person. You know, I idolize this person. It makes it all well worth it. So,
what can you tell us about the next few weeks? I know the semester's wrapping up. Mm-hmm. Students are putting final touches on their semesters. What's coming up that TAB is offering that students should be on the lookout for?
A big one that I want to push is Red Raider Showcase.
Okay.
We're trying to start a new tradition. There's a lot of talent shows that I think could go on around campus, but we're trying to make one that everyone can feel like they can be a part of. We have 10 acts. I got to personally watch these people audition, and they are fantastic. So it's going to be a great show.
So it's all students from
yes.
Texas Tech?
Mm-hmm. We have some great talent here.
And so. What day is that happening?
Oh, my gosh.
Red Raider Showcase.
Do not know off the top of my head.
Is there anything you guys have coming up for stress relief for finals?
Yes. I think it's the day before dead day. We will have, rest and relaxation, R&R night.
So, what is that?
You can come out, get free Scantrons, free blue books, pencils. There'll be like coloring.
You had me scared with the Scantrons thing. I was like, that does not relax me at all. That just stresses me out more.
But then she said coloring.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Coloring, games. The rec will be coming out and they'll be doing free massages.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
So I'll be here over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very hot. Are you guys going to have any programming?
Yes, we mostly definitely will.
Okay.
During the summer, our dive-in movies are really popular.
Drive-in?
Dive-in.
Dive-in.
What is that?
The leisure pool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have like this huge screen, and you can float and sit in the water and watch a movie.
So can you pretty much see the screen from anywhere in the pool?
Yes.
I
think if you haven't been out the leisure pool, there's one point where you go under a bridge and mm-hmm. you're under the thing. I think the funniest thing is if the cliffhanger of the movie's coming up and you're floating towards underneath the bridge, you'll start paddling going, no, no, I want to see what happens.
That is funny.
And then you float underneath and you hear it and you're like, no, why? But anyways.
You've thought long and hard about this.
I have. It has been a long process thinking about that.
Have you been to many dive-in movies?
No. I have not been to the dive-in movies.
Matt,
I'm usually not here during the summer.
What about you, since you're so hot over the summer?
A dive-in movie? No, I haven't. But last summer, I liked to frequent the leisure pool, and I saw some advertising for the dive-in movie, so I'll probably make it a habit this summer. So aside from those, do you all have any concerts or other events?
Not during the summer. We mostly do make and take events. I think we propose to do like a sandcastle kind of thing, so you get to like make a mini sandcastle and take it
with you. Oh, taking you back to your childhood. That's so sweet.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Alyssa Singleton, the president of the Tech Activities Board. Thank you so much for joining us. And what's the website people can check out more TAB events on?
You can visit tab.ttu.edu.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be back on Good Morning Tech Sick right after this on the Raider 88.1.
Politics.
No campaigning of any kind may take place in the offices of the Student Government Association.
Rhetoric.
They really don't know how detrimental secondhand smoke is to non-smokers.
Policy.
The bus stops will stop as they stop on a regular route for schools.
Tune in to Student Government Association meetings every first and third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on 88.1 The Raider.
New music every week on 88.1 KTXT FM, The Raider.
Blame me.
Radio is big time, but growth of radio is swift by a wondrous thing called wireless.
KTXT now has a brand new feature. If you're not always in your car or around the radio, you now have the option to stream live through our website on your computer or smartphone.
Faith is to make radio a power in a world of peace and war.
Just go to our main page at ktxtfm.org and listen live.
You are listening to the Raider 88.1.
Tune in for Flashback Fridays here on the Raider 88.1.
Things that I used to say, all the words that got in the way.
Handpicked songs from the 90s and early 2000s. Playing our generation's version of the oldies but goodies every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on the Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. You can join the conversation on Twitter at The Raider 88.1 or also search for us on Facebook, search for The Raider 88.1, and then also visit our website, TheRaider881.com, for live streaming. Joshua Cook alongside Matt Smith, Kira Powell laughing across the way in the news booth,
I'm
and then
so sorry.
Christine Copeland
it
pushing all the buttons.
It tickled me a little bit when I thought I heard Matt say he was really hot over the summer. I don't know
we'll
why
have
you would
to play
say
the
that.
Tape back. I said, it's so hot.
After yes. further review.
Okay. I don't do well in the heat.
All right. Well, as mentioned earlier in the show, today marks Jackie Robinson Day. Of course, on Friday, the movie 42 was released to theaters, and it was a strong number one in North America, taking in about $27.3 million over the weekend. And I got inspired last night around 10 o'clock and put together this little montage of clips from the movie 42.
My daddy left us. I was only 6 months older than you are now.
I don't remember him. You will remember me.
World's not so simple anymore. I guess it never was. We ignored it. Now we can't.
I don't know who he is. Or where he is. But he's coming.
We go hard.
You Jackie Robinson?
We win if the world is convinced of two things. That you are a fine gentleman and a great baseball player.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
Give me a uniform. Give me a number on my back. I'll give you the guts.
Jackie Robinson, you have earned a place with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Think about the abuse that he's going to take.
When you step out on that field, you're changing the world.
I'm just a ball player.
You are a hero.
Why don't you look in the mirror? This is a white man's game.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here.
I'm a Brooklyn boy. I may take some getting used to.
Playing ball, huh?
Play ball.
Playing ball. Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42. That way they won't tell us apart.
Brooklyn, we go hard. We go hard. Go hard. Go hard. Go hard. Go hard.
I had a lot of fun putting that together.
It was a great
last
package.
Night.
Sounds so, like it.
It was my jam.
I like Jay-Z. That's a good
I think
good
the
good
reason
one.
Why it took so long to make a movie about Jackie Robinson is because it's really difficult to do him and his story justice.
Mm-hmm.
What he did for baseball and all of sports is so crucial and still relevant that the person who undertook this movie, whether, you know, it was the writer and director, Brian Helgeland, whoever it was, whoever financed it, they had a lot of courage to undertake this story and project and put their necks out there. And from what I've heard, I haven't seen it yet, but from what I've heard, it's a great representation. Josh loves it. The reviews are pretty good.
You saw it over the weekend, Josh.
I did.
What were your thoughts?
I mean, you know, I'm a big baseball fan, so that's, you know, easy for me to walk into the theater and love this movie right off the bat because it's about Jackie Robinson. But also, you know, as a sports fan in general, you should go watch this film because it's about one of the greatest baseball players to ever play the game. And people will say, well, you know, he wasn't Babe Ruth, he wasn't Mickey Mantle, he wasn't any of those guys, you know, he's not Barry Bonds or any of them. But think about this. If Jackie Robinson hadn't done what he did, now granted, someone would have come along. Someone would have come along, broken the color barrier in baseball.
You hope.
But if Jackie Robinson hadn't done what he did, would have Hammer and Hank Aaron broke the all-time home run record with a 714th home run? Would Barry Bonds have broken the all-time home run record? You know, that's the question you ought to ask yourself. And I think Jackie Robinson is one of the best players to ever play the game because not only did he play the game well, not only did he have the stats to be in the Hall of Fame, but the abuse, the verbal abuse he took and him and his wife took at the start of his career was just insurmountable that anyone, I mean, I personally would have quit. I would have been like, no, I can't handle this. And, you know, he was called names. They were swearing at him. They were hitting him with the cleats up high. So Jackie Robinson, definitely a man to model yourself after.
Great. That was a great package, Josh. I love talking about Jackie Robinson. We're going to take a little break real quick. You will hear another song from my top five for this week. It's called The Same Old Ground by a band called He's My Brother, She's My Sister. We'll see you in a few.
Okay.
Good morning, Texas Tech, everyone. Joshua Cook alongside Matt Smith. Gary Powell across the way. Christine Copeland producing our wonderful show.
I really liked that song.
You did?
Yeah. Good
Thank
pick.
You.
You're welcome. I was thinking about this when we were talking about Jackie Robinson. I didn't get to say this earlier, but I think it's funny that everything has sort of this butterfly effect. You never know the impact you're going to have with the small decisions you make and how they'll affect the world.
He signed a $600 contract, the $3,500 signing bonus. I will say that even if you're not a baseball fan, I feel like, and I haven't seen the movie, but knowing a little bit about Jackie Robinson, I feel like it's worth seeing if you're a civil rights fan. You know, if you're an American, it's worth seeing because his place in history goes deeper than just sports or just baseball.
Absolutely.
But if we're going to talk about baseball, you know, he wasn't Barry Bonds because he wasn't a power hitter and he didn't do steroids. So that's how he's not Barry Bonds. He was a great average hitter. He hit for .311 in his career. A lot of people think of him as kind of the base stealing king. He only averaged about 19 to 20 stolen bases a year. He was really a good role player. He could hit leadoff. He could hit in the 7 or 8 spot. And so, you know, he was a great player, and I think it's okay if his impact on the game contributed to him being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely what Jackie Robinson did for the game of baseball is, you know, it's kind of funny when you watch, when you go and watch 42, it's kind of funny how people react to what he does and what he does on the base pads and how he hits and everything like that. Now, granted, if you want a biography of Jackie Robinson and, you know, the whole full-blown deal, you know, you can look up the bio, but it's a fantastic movie to go see.
Well, I'm excited to see it this weekend, hopefully.
No, you got to go see it.
Matt, you had something, a headline for us?
Yeah, there's an interesting court case that will be continuing today. The top court in the United States will be weighing whether or not jeans can be patented.
Now, when I heard you tell me this headline earlier in the studio, I thought you were talking about pants. And now I just looked at it.
That makes sense.
That's not what you're talking about.
That is not what I'm talking
jeans,
about.
Jeans, DNA.
And gotcha. This one might go over my head, but I'm going to try my best to discuss it. So essentially, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has granted patents on at least 4,000 human genes to companies, universities, and others that have discovered and decoded them. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in a case that calls into question whether human DNA can be claimed as intellectual property and remain off limits to everyone without the permission of the patent holder. Essentially,
so does this mean no one can use my DNA without my permission?
No, it's not like that. Essentially, what it means is genes are a product of nature. I think we can all agree about that. So you might say, how can that be patented? Well, is it good or bad? In terms of research, it can be patented by people researching cures for certain diseases and such. And so I was going to ask you guys, do you think it's good or bad to keep health research as a free market in order to encourage competition and maybe make some innovations? Or do you think everyone should kind of be able to be exposed to, you know, the same data or genes?
I don't know. I think my genes are pretty fabulous, thanks to my mom and dad. So they're worth some major bucks. I wouldn't want anybody just to be able to use them without my... I think you should have to have the go-ahead. And I mean that as a joke. Obviously, my parents are awesome. But I think you should have to... I don't think you should be able to use it without somebody's permission. I'm confused about what you're saying.
I know. The topic is complicated.
You're confusing me.
And I'm also confused. But essentially is... researchers are acquiring these genes, and shame on me for choosing this topic
because none of us
are scientists. No. However, researchers are acquiring these genes and using them for medical research.
How are they acquiring the genes? That's my question.
Whether they're purchasing them or, you know, it's DNA. I don't know. Josh, you were awfully talkative for the sports sessions. You're just hanging us out to dry here.
I don't know.
Levi's.
Yeah. Pants, football. I don't know. I mean, I'm
now
confused.
You know how I felt
I'm
earlier.
Confused. I mean, it sounds like, I don't know.
Exactly.
Really, this is what the top court's dealing with? This is the biggest thing in the country that they can deal with right now? Like, this is top. All right, guys.
What are you going to do, berate him?
We're meeting right now. Number one. What are you kidding?
This
is the best thing that they can do.
I should not have awoken the beast.
No. Nope.
What is this?
This
is nonsense. They're arguing about DNA. You own your DNA.
No. I got that started, and it's my mistake because I didn't understand what Matt was saying. So I'm confused.
Let's talk about Matt this past weekend.
Okay.
Relay for Life?
Yes, we were out there until... How long were you out there, Matt?
I was out there for about an hour and 20 minutes. Uh-huh.
And then I was out there
for... Josh, you?
Hour and 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Less than me.
I was out there for 2 solid hours.
Christine just gave us like the most grimacing stare.
I can't help
ever.
It if you guys had to be in the studio. I'm sorry. They were there from 5 o'clock until 7 the next morning.
I will say.
Julie was, for sure.
I will say that it was awesome because driving around, and I had KTXT on my radio during the evening driving around, and hearing the live.
Some of us were here for 12 hours.
I'm sorry. You can't punish me for that.
Hard work is typically rewarded. I will say that I loved the event in the respect... I got like a really good feeling when I was there because it was such a big group of honestly just really good, well-intended people.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there, you know, to party. They were there for a cause.
Seriously,
they were there to party in the respect that there was hundreds of people doing the same dance. I have no idea how they all choreographed it together.
I did enjoy the dance party in the middle of Memorial Circle.
But it just felt good to be there and be a part of that and support. I mean, everyone knows someone who's had cancer. You know, Dr. Chambers gave a great speech. It really gave the crowd the extra boost they needed at about 1 a.m., and I just think it was a fantastic event all around. I look forward to being more involved next year. And KTXC was there representing as well.
All night.
Yep. And doing live phone-ins, live broadcasts from Memorial Circle, which sounded awesome over the air, and had students working all night, and, you know, it was dancing and singing and all kinds of stuff. So, but what else did y'all do with your weekends?
I was at the Lubbock Arts Festival on Sunday.
Ah.
Ooh.
Afternoon, and that was interesting. It was a lot. I didn't leave a booth. I was working, so, but everybody was walking around with all of these different pieces of jewelry and art, and there were guitars out there, just kind of crazy. And then there were kids who were walking around with the Home Depot apron on, and they got to build these little wooden heart boxes. I don't know. They're real cute.
Final note, I went and saw the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and Lubbock Ballet Lubbock perform Music in Motion. It was absolutely awesome.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
It was awesome. Just wanted to give a shout out. So
sweet.
It was awesome. But that does it for us. We'll be back on Wednesday morning here on the Raider 88.1. Have a good Tuesday and Monday. We'll see you on Wednesday. That was out of order.
Yep. Bye. See ya.
Temperatures around 80 this afternoon. Very comfortable out there. Mostly sunny skies, though we are still seeing a few high clouds, a bit breezy as well, gusting 15 to 25. A few very isolated patches of blowing dust across the western rural portions of the city, but in town, very nice weather. And lasting into this evening as temperatures cool down into the 60s after sunset, down into the 50s once again tonight to begin your Tuesday. And tomorrow looks even warmer, highs near 90. For KTXT Weather, I'm Cutter Martin, throwing you back to the music.
Hey, Lubbock, this is David Wolverton.
And I'm Justin Laney. We're the hosts of the Red Raider Rundown Sports Talk Show. From Texas Tech Athletics to national headlines, we have you covered here on KTXT The Raider 88.1.
Join us every Tuesday, Thursday at 5 p.m., bringing you the classiest sports talk in Lubbock.
You stay classy, Lubbock.
Wait until the middle of a cold, dark night. Skyrockets in flight.
Oh no, it's raining cats and dogs. Actually, it's just raining. Stay in the know about Lubbock weather with KTXT News Daily Updates online at ktxtfm.org. Come wind or rain or driving snow, you'll always know with KTXT. This is the Raider 88.1.
Radio is big time, but growth of radio is swift. By a wondrous thing called wireless.
KTXT now has a brand new feature. If you're not always in your car or around the radio, you now have the option to stream live through our website on your computer or smartphone.
Fate is to make radio a power in a world of peace and war.
Just go to our main page at ktxtfm.org and listen live.
You are listening to the Raider 88.1.